यदा हि धर्मश ग्लानिर्भवति भारत। अद्युतानम् अधर्मश तदात्मानं सृजाम्यहम्। परित्राणाय साधुना विनाशाय च दुष्कृता धर्म संस्थापना शंभवामि युगे। हरेर्नाम हरेर्नामैव केवलम्। कलौ नास्तेव गतिरन्नथा। कृष्ण कृष्ण हरे हरे, हरे राम हरे राम 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 हरे हरे।
हरे कृष्ण dear devotees, and welcome to our weekly Krishna Consciousness program. And once again, I would like to remind you to come to the Hare Krishna Temple, which is at 1229 Coatesville Riverhead Highway, also known as Highway 28, where every Sundays we hold special public programs starting at 11:30 with bhajans and kirtans, followed by aarti of their lordships at 12:30, and then we have a discourse on Krishna consciousness based on Srimad Bhagavad Gita or Srimad Bhagavatam. And then we have aarti of our founder Acharya, His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. And we finish the day's program at 2:30 with vegetarian feast. Please come along and join us and enjoy Krishna consciousness.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare.
Do you know everything is Krishna's energy? Sarva vedam akhilam jagat prasya brahmana shaktihi prasya brahmana shakti. Whatever we are seeing, that is exhibition or manifestation of two energies. Just like the sun has got two energies, heat and light. Similarly, Krishna has got many energies. Out of many energies, there are three have been taken into account. One is the external energy, another the internal, and the other is the marginal energy. The external energy is the this material world. Bhumi rapo anano vayu kammanu buddhi hevcha. This is material world. That internal energy is the spiritual world, and the marginal energy, that's me, the living energy. Marginal energy means we may retain or remain in this material world, or we may remain in the spiritual world. There is a Bengali proverb, Srila Prabhupada says, Dhari mache nau nachoi pani. Means that I'll catch the fish but without touching the water. That is intelligence. We have got to live in this material world in such a way that we shall do everything, but we'll never have attachment for them, for the material world. We may have live in big buildings, big huge temples. We But we should not be attached to them. We must have them for Krishna's sake. It is Krishna's property. Everything belongs to Krishna. Why you occupying them unnecessarily then? Istena yeva sa uchate. Don't be a thief. Why are you claiming Krishna's property as your own? This is my land. This is New Zealand. This is my land, India. This is my land, Fiji. This is my land, England. This is my land, America. It is not your land. It is Krishna's land. You are imagining. This is my land. You come here for 20, 40, 100 years and fight for the land. And when you die, you do not take it with you, either Fijian, Indian, American, European, or New Zealand. You fall flat, that's all. And then this body is taken away and burnt or buried, that's all. This is called Maya, Moha. Maya means Moha, Moha means illusion. Aham Mameti. This is illusion. Nothing belongs to us, but unnecessarily we are claiming, this is my land, this is my country, this is my house, this is my family, this is my mama. This is illusion. And in this way, we are attached to this tree, samsara tarora, from one branch to another. Now I am Indian. I may be American. I may be in Fijian in my next life. I may be something else. I may be a cat. I may be a dog. Or I may be something else, a demigod. That will depend on my work. But after that, you are completely under the grips of the material nature. Your dictation will not work there. Make me like this. Again, make me Indian. Or again, make me nationalist of this country or that country. No. After death, everything is finished. You are no more nationalist or head of this country or proprietor of that land or that house. Nothing. But this is going on. We should not forget that we are always suffering. The three kinds of sufferings, I don't mean this economic problem, but according to Vedic scriptures, there are three kinds of sufferings. One kind of suffering belongs to the body and mind, like the headache or thirst and hunger or some bodily pain. Somebody has called me something, I am upset and suffering, or I have lost something or a friend or something like that. That is suffering of the body and mind, called adhyatmik. And then suffering by the nature, that is called adhidaivik. And which we have no control, like flood, earthquake, cyclone, snow, drought. In these sufferings we have no control. This is called adhidaivik suffering. And the suffering of the mind and body, sufferings of the body is called adhyatmik. And there is other sufferings, adhibhautik, attack by other living beings, my enemies, some animal or some worm or so many things are there. So many living entities attack us. These three kinds of sufferings are always there, but we do not want any of these sufferings. Arjuna is conscious that there is this war, and it is my duty to fight as a Kshatriya with my enemy. But there is suffering because they are my kinsmen. Unless a human being is conscious of and awakened to the fact that we are always suffering, even though we do not want these sufferings, as long as we live in animal consciousness, that we do not know that we are always suffering. We do not know, we do not care, or we do not want to find any remedy for our sufferings. We are living like animals. That means we are living like animal consciousness. Here Arjuna is suffering and he wants to find a solution. And therefore, he accepts a spiritual master. When we are conscious of our sufferings, we are awakened to our suffering situation. Suffering is there. Forgetfulness or ignorance of suffering is no meaning. Suffering is always there. But when one is very serious to find a solution for his sufferings, then he seeks a spiritual master, a guru. Just like Arjuna required a spiritual master, suffering was there. He does not require any education, simply thinking that I do not want all these sufferings, but I am suffering. Why? Is there any solution? Is there any end to these sufferings? Actually, there is a solution. All our sufferings, all this Vedic knowledge, why do we go to school? Why do we go to college? Why do we study science? Why do we study law? Everything is meant for ending our sufferings, or at least reducing them. If there was no suffering, then nobody would have taken these studies. But we think that if I am educated, if I am a doctor, if I am a lawyer, or if I am an engineer, I will be happy. Happiness, that is the ultimate aim, the ultimate goal. I will get a good job, government job, I will be happy. So happiness is the end of every pursuit. But these mitigations of sufferings are temporary. Real suffering is due to this material existence. These three kinds of sufferings are the daivik, adhyatmik, and adhibhautik. When one becomes conscious of his sufferings and he wants to find a solution to his sufferings, then there is necessary of a spiritual master. Now if you want to make a solution of your sufferings and you want to consult a person, now what sort of person you must meet who can end your all sufferings? That selection must be there. If you want to purchase a jewel, diamond, and very valuable thing, then if you go to a grocery shop, such kind of ignorance, you must be cheated. You will be cheated. You must be cheated. At least you must approach a jewelry shop. Jewelry shop, or you see, so much knowledge you must have. So is the question solved. So Abharti, samsara taror kutaram. If we transfer our attachment to Krishna, then we can understand that Vasudev Sarvam, it is not my land, not your land. It is all Vasudev's property, Krishna's property. That knowledge comes. When does it come? Bhavanam janamnam ante. After many, many, many births, we are giving that knowledge immediately. The Krishna conscious movement is giving that knowledge immediately. You don't have to wait for many, many births. Now, the knowledge which you are expecting after many thousands of births, this Krishna consciousness movement is giving you immediately. Now, if you are intelligent, you should take it. Take advantage of it. We are preaching that everything belongs to Krishna. Everything should be utilized for Krishna's purpose, Krishna's benefit. He is the beneficiary. Then everything will be all right. If one comes to this knowledge, Vasudev Sarvamiti, Isha Vasam Idam Sarvam, Sah Mahatma, Sudhuralava. Then immediately you become the greatest Mahatma. Mahatma does not mean simply having a big beard and a saffron dress. No. This knowledge that everything belongs to Krishna, Bhaktaram Yajna Tapasam Sarva Loka Maheshwaram Suhridam Sarva Bhutanam Jyatva Mam Shantim Archati. This is the formula. I am the Bhakta. The all best food stuff should be offered to Krishna. That is Archana Vidhi. The first class food stuff, all sandesa, rasgulla, kachori, etc. Best food, should be offered to Krishna. If you haven't got very nice food, stuff Krishna can be offered, can also be offered whatever you have, whatever means, not anything beyond the jurisdiction. Patram pushpam phalam toyam yome bhakta prayasati. You can give him little fruit, little flower, little leaf, little water, that you can collect without any cost. Anywhere it is possible. Anyone's garden you can go, and if you say, my dear, say, I'll take a little flower and a little leaf, nobody will say, no, don't take it. Nobody. That you may can collect. If you haven't got to offer very elaborate food stuff to Krishna, you can offer a little patram pushpam phalam toyam, little fruit, little flower, little leaf, little water. But offer something to Krishna, that is required. That is bhakti. That is devotional service. Actually, that offering is not really required. Krishna is not hungry. That he is asking you for a little water, a little fruit, a little flower. He is feeding. Eko bahunam yo vidyati kamam. He is supplying all the necessities to everyone. So why he is begging you? Because he wants you to love him. That is what Krishna wants. You are suffering in this material world. Krishna wants you to do not suffer. You give up this business of jumping like a monkey from this branch to that branch, from that branch to that branch. But come to him and surrender to him. Sarvam Sruvanam, which is the knowledge comes of that is perfect knowledge. Gato mukandam sharanam saranyam parihirte kartam. Krishna also says, sarva dharman parityaje mamekam saranam vraj. If you take shelter of the lotus feet of Krishna, then you are no more debtor to anyone. You are no more debtor. Devrasi bhutapta rinam pitranam. Na king karo nayam rini cha rajam. Sarvatmanaha yaha saranam saranyam gato mukundam parihata kartam. O king, one who has given up all material duties and has taken full shelter of the lotus feet of Mukunda, who offers shelter to all, is not indebted to the demigods, great sages, ordinarily living beings, relatives, friends, mankind, or even one's forefathers who have passed away. Since all such classes of living entities are part and parcel of the Supreme Lord, one who has surrendered to the Lord's service has no need to save such persons separately. Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 11, Chapter 5, Text 41. One who has not fully surrendered to the devotional service of the Lord undoubtedly has many material duties to perform. Every ordinary conditioned soul is the recipient of innumerable benefits given by the demigods who provide sun, moon, light, rain, wind, food, ultimately one's own material body. In Bhagavad Gita it is stated, sthena yeva saha. One who does not reciprocate with the demigods by offering them sacrifices is a sthena or a thief. Similarly, other living entities such as cows are providing us with innumerable delicious and nutritious foodstuffs. When we wake up in the morning, our mind is refreshed by the sweet singing of birds. On a hot day, we enjoy the cool shade and breeze of the forest trees. We are accepting services from innumerable living entities, and we are obliged to repay them. Apta means one's own family members, to whom one is certainly obligated according to the normal morality. And nirinam means human society. Niranam, Nirnam means human society. Until one becomes a devotee of the Supreme Personality of God, one is certainly a product of his society. We receive mundane education, culture, tradition, and protection from the society in which we live. And thus we owe our great debt to the society. Of course, our debt is to society, it's not simply to the present order, but to all of our forefathers and ancestors who carefully preserved moral and social customs so that we, their descendants, could live peacefully. Therefore, the word Pitranam, or forefathers, indicates our debt to the previous generations. In fact, members of the Krishna Consciousness Society are sometimes criticized by materialistic persons for giving too much attention to Krishna rather than working to fulfill all of the above-mentioned obligations. In reply to this, the Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 31, Text 14 states, Yata taruru mulam nischarenena tripyanti tattasaskandha Pojipasakha. If one waters the root of a tree, automatically all of the branches, twigs, leaves, etc. are also nourished. There is no need for any effectiveness in separately pouring water on the branches, twigs, and leaves of a tree. The water has to be given to the root. Similarly, pranopa-rakshasa yatendriyanam, food must be placed in the stomach from where it is automatically distributed to all of the limbs of the body. It is foolish to try to nourish the whole body by rubbing food separately on all parts of the limbs. Similarly, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, is the source of all existence. Everything is emanating from Krishna. Everything is maintained by him, and at the end, everything will merge to rest in Krishna. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, is the supreme benefactor, friend, proprietor, and well-wisher of every living entity, and he is satisfied, then automatically the whole world will become satisfied, just as all the bodily limbs are strengthened and satisfied when food is duly remitted to the stomach. The example can be given that a man who is working as the personal secretary to a great king or minister has no further obligation to petty minor kings. Undoubtedly, an ordinary person has many obligations within this material world. But according to Bhagavad Gita, mayeva vihitan hitan, it is actually the Supreme Lord who is giving all benedictions. For example, one receives one's body by the mercy of one's parent. However, sometimes we find a particular man or woman may become important at a given moment. Sometimes a deformed child is born. Sometimes a child is born dead. Often the sexual act fails to produce pregnancy at all. So although all parents desire a beautiful, highly qualified child, highly educated child, this is often not the case. Thus, it can be. Thus it can be understood that ultimately it is by the mercy of the Supreme Lord that a man and a woman are able to produce a child by a sexual act. It is by the Lord's mercy that the man's seminal injection is potent and the woman's ovum is fertile. Similarly, it is only by the mercy of the Lord that the child is born in a healthy condition and reaches physical maturity or pursue his own life. If at any stage in this evolution of human beings, the Lord's mercy is withdrawn, sudden death or crippling disease occurs. The demigods are also not independent. The word prihirtahartkartam, giving up other duties, indicate that one should give up any concept that the demigods are separate from Krishna. It is clearly stated in Vedic literature that the demigods are different limbs of the universal body of the Supreme Lord. Further, it is stated in Bhagavad Gita that the Supreme Lord is situated in everyone's heart and that only He is giving intelligence and memory. Thus, our forefathers who carefully preserved cultural traditions were acting with the intelligence provided by the Supreme Lord. They certainly were not acting with their own independent intelligence. No one can be intelligent without a brain, and it is only by Krishna's mercy that we receive a human brain. Therefore, if we carefully analyze all of our multifarious obligations toward different classes of living entities, we shall find that in each and every case it is ultimately by the mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and we have received a particular benediction in life. So although an ordinary person must methodically fulfill all of his various obligations by executing different types of sacrifices and charitable activities for the satisfaction of those who have benefited him, one who is directly serving the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, at once fulfills all such obligations, because all benedictions ultimately have come from the Lord through the energy of family, forefathers, demigods, etc. The example may be given that sometimes a state government may distribute benefits originally provided by the federal government. So one who becomes a personal secretary to the chief executive of a federal government has no further obligations to the less important representatives of the state government. Therefore, it is stated in Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 11, Chapter 20, Text 9, Tahavata karmani kuruvitaha na nirvidhyate yavat matakata sarvana sravana docha sradha yavan na jayate. As long as one is not satiated by fruitive activities and has not awakened his taste for devotional service by hearing and chanting about the Supreme Lord, one has to act according to the regulative principles of the Vedic injunction. The conclusion is that one who has fully surrendered to the devotional service of the Supreme Lord is a first-class human being. Well, let's wait there for the stop there for the week. Let's have some kirtan.
Hare 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 Rama Krishna, Krishna, Krishna.